Hey, welcome to How to Write a Novel. It's been a little while. So when we last spoke, I had finished the first draft of Explode, the novel that this fucking podcast is about. Now I'm back in Taiwan. It was fucking crazy. So this all kind of happened by accident. I was in my hometown. And, you know, I just presumed I would hang out there. I mean, I was there for like a year. But, you know, for an indeterminate amount of time, I just figured I'd be there for a while. And then my friend Mike had a wedding in Toronto. So I was like, all right, well, cool. Let's go to Toronto for a bit. And then I figured, well, from there, it's pretty easy from Toronto. You can take a train to Montreal, and then maybe I'll go to Quebec City because I've never been there. Just, you know, it was like, whatever. I'll just gallivant around Canada a little bit for the winter. And then my Airbnb guy in Montreal fucking canceled on me with very little notice. Pretty rare for that to happen. It seems like he claimed there were renovation improvement type shit that he had to do. But I don't think so. The guy was acting a little weird leading up to this. And I think it's just that if you are going to claim that, because he'll get in trouble with Airbnb if he just cancels for no reason. But he can't claim that he has renovation problems and cancel ahead of time. You know, he's got to wait till like the last moment and pretend it's an emergency, thus leaving me in a lurch and fucking me over a bit. But it kind of worked out because coincidentally, right at that same point, Mike was heading out of Toronto. Was that their honeymoon? Yeah, I guess it was, like a delayed honeymoon. Anyway, they needed someone to house sit, look after dogs and cats. So I was like, hey, perfect. My fucking Airbnb canceled on me anyway, so I'll do that. And then as I was trying to sort out what to do next, I was just like, well, Canada, you know, Canada's actually not cheap to travel within. It's not the cheap option to stay in Canada. I was like, you know, I mean, I haven't been gone from Asia for that long, but let me just look around. And I found this crazy flight for $515, which is an extremely good deal, from Toronto. I had to go sleep overnight in the Newark airport, which was horrifying because that airport is not designed. It's designed so that you can't sleep. It's distinctly designed so there's nowhere to lie down. So that was pretty shit. And then this flight to Tokyo. Basically, like, I left March 1st. I didn't get there till March 3rd. It sucked. But I got to Tokyo for $500. I'm like, all right, fuck it. Thank you, Airbnb guy, for canceling on me. Because then once I got over here, it's just a lot cheaper than staying in North America. Gallivanted around Japan for a while. Also, it turns out, I think one reason why that flight was so cheap is that early March, kind of a lame time to go to Japan. The weather was, like, quite unfun. And it's before cherry blossom season. So I guess it's not a lot of people necessarily want to go at that time of year. So it worked out for me. And after Japan, I was like, all right, let's go back to Taiwan. Here I am. I'm in the south this time. Kaohsiung, the city's called. And it's great. And right now I'm just in one of these super duper awesome Buddhist temples. They're so beautiful, the Buddhist temples, like the Chinese style Buddhist temples in Taiwan. They're so elaborate. They're so pretty. It's just nuts. They're so great. They all kind of look similar, but they look similar in an awesome way. But anyway, it's raining and I'm just in the temple. No one else is here, under an awning. But why I decided to pull out the recorder, because Lord knows I haven't gotten much done writing wise. You know, my plan was to finish, now that I finished the first draft of Explode, it's like, all right, now let's finish the first draft of my follow-up novel, The Knower, because it was very near done as well. Just to get Explode off my mind for a while, put it on the back burner, and I'll move on to doing a proper edit. You know, I figured I'd like to have another book under my belt too, because it's so close. Why not? It'll take the pressure off of Explode. It's like, yeah, you know, don't overthink it. Don't put too much weight on this thing. You got another book ready to go. Don't worry about it. But it's mainly just that the daily writing routine, I just fell off so hard. I mean, it just doesn't even cross my mind. You know, it's not even like I'm making the deliberate choice of like, oh, I ain't got it in me today. I literally just go days and days and I don't even think about it. Like, once I finished Explode, it's like being a writer is like way back on the back burner of my life. I just don't do it. I don't even choose not to do it. I'm not even aware that I didn't do it until it's like a few days later. I'm like, fuck me. How have I done nothing? Come on, dude, get back on the wagon. It's really tough, man. The daily habit, I mean, I do think that was the secret to my eventual success in actually finishing a novel, but it is not easy. It is a hard habit to forge, and once you let it go, it's gone. So hopefully I'll have better news to report on that front. I'll get back on the fucking, get back into that routine, because that was very important, and I have lost it. But why I wanted to pull out this recorder is, you know, I am just, now that Explode is more on the back burner, and I can think of it more as just a larger conceptual piece. Every once in a while, I do pop in and read a bit, and I'm like, oh, this definitely needs work. This is a first draft, all right. But hopefully the skeleton's good, and the basic ideas are good, and the basic book is good, but the actual line-to-line is not that good. It needs to be fixed up for sure. But the basic premise of it, the alien on an alien spaceship, two different alien species trying to understand each other, but in a very low-key conversational way. You know, that type of idea is back on my mind, being in a country where I don't speak the language and just coming from another country where I don't speak the language. But specifically, a little thing just happened just now that I think is such a good, it's like emblematic of the kind of friction that I want to try to present in my novel, because I really do want it to be quite low key. I want it to be fairly low stakes and low, you know, the opposite of conflict, conflict, conflict. I don't like it. I don't like excessive conflict. I don't like traditional story structures. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't want a book that's a roller coaster ride. I want a book that is like wearing a styrofoam helmet. I don't know, I want it to just be insulated and isolated and lonely and quiet. I want the problems to be small, but I feel like, relatively speaking, hopefully they will feel amplified. You know, these small issues can feel bigger because that's the environment we're in. That's the overall tone of the story. Because this road, the reason I walked down this road is because I saw this beautiful temple down at the end of the road. And it's actually a dead end down here. I can't go anywhere else. So you really got to go out of your way to come down here. You're not just passing by. But I don't really know how things work. You know, I'm always like pretty confused about Eastern religion in general. I kind of like it because it seems lower stakes, again, similar to like what I was just saying about how I want a novel to feel. It feels like religion, while it's ever present in Asia, and there's Buddha statues everywhere, and there's temples and shrines everywhere, it doesn't feel like anybody takes it too seriously, as opposed to North America, where I grew up Catholic, and I just feel like everyone is a different version of taking it way too seriously. All the Western religions in their own different ways are like, you need to calm down. You need to stop pretending that these fantastical stories about magical people are fucking real. It's embarrassing. That's how you can tell I'm in Taiwan. Beeping. There's always random beeping. So yeah, if there are people taking religion way too seriously in Asia, I'm unaware of it. You know, it just passes right by me. So to me, it's just neat. And I do feel like this is probably what it feels like if you're on like the Starship Enterprise and you go see the Klingon pavilion on the ship. You don't really understand it. You don't really know what's going on. Okay, shut up. Fuck. And I feel like this is probably what it would be like if you were like on the Starship Enterprise and you went to the Klingon pavilion or whatever, and you're looking at all the ornate crazy stuff and I don't know, insane war statues or whatever. And it's like, you don't understand what it is. You don't really understand how it works. It's just cool. Even if it is sinister, even if there's stuff going on here that is like, that has meanings that you probably wouldn't care for if you knew what they were, but you don't know what they are. So it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful and cool. But on the way down this street, there was actually another temple on the way here. And I stopped in there briefly, and I kind of wanted to take a picture just because these things are so beautiful. But when there's people around, I don't know, I presume it's probably a little uncouth to just take pictures of all this stuff. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Again, I don't know, but if there's people around, you know, I generally don't. But this other temple had one person there, one guy. And a lot of times at these temples, there's offerings, I assume. Again, I don't totally know how it works, but like there'll be oranges and candies and different little things. This one down the street had like bottles of water, like a whole bunch of bottles of water. So it seems inviting, you know? Actually, someone just showed up at this temple I met to light some incense. So let me just move a little down the street. while I'm yammering to myself, let me just get out of there. But yeah, I just stopped in briefly, and I was just kind of going to wait for this guy to see if he was leaving, to see if I could take a picture. So I was just kind of milling around a little, just at the very entrance. And the guy came over, and he just, you know, one thing I like about traveling in Asia is generally people ignore me. They just leave me alone, which works for me. That is, I have no problem with that. It's a little unusual for somebody to really focus in on me, but this guy came right over and he would like just lifted his hand above his head and lowered it. And my first inclination was that seems like a gesture that means bow, that means get on your knees. But I'm probably just because I grew up Catholic, you know, like it's always get on your knees, bow, say this, do that, through him, with him, in him, through the unity of the Holy Spirit. All glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. It's like a fucking Monty Python sketch. So I kind of begged off a little. I just like lifted my hand of like, no, I'm whatever it is you're trying to do or say, I'm good. I'm good is what I was trying to show. But the guy just kind of kept gesturing. This like hand up, bringing the hand down. And I was just like, there are like little chairs there and stuff. I think there's a good chance he was kind of saying like, take a load off. Hey, it's raining. It's okay. Sit down. But his face was neutral. He just had no expression. He wasn't annoyed. He wasn't welcoming. He was just blank-faced. And he did it a couple of times until finally I was just like, I don't want either of these, you know? Either he's telling me I'm doing something wrong, like I'm not supposed to be milling around in the opening, or, I don't know, take your shoes off or something. Or, you know, you're not being pious, you're not doing the thing. I honestly don't think it was that, but I can't rule it out. But maybe he was just saying, like, have a seat. But I don't want to do that either. I don't want to sit here. I just don't sit down in general. I stand up at restaurants if I can. You know, if there's, like, a standing bar. I'm not a sitting down guy. So if he was being negative, I was like, all right, I guess I'll get out of here. But even if he was being positive, which seems more likely, I mean, again, there's bottles of water there. There's like, I think he was maybe saying, have a seat, sit down. But even that he's being insistent about that is goofing up my day. It's like, no, no, thank you. I do not wish to do that. I'm just passing by, my friend. But I just don't know. I don't know, and I have no way to know. I just don't have enough information to be able to unravel what this means, what this communication is supposed to be communicating. And in order to find out, I don't know, I'd have to like take out my phone and get Google Translate, and then what do I even write? Like, what are you talking about? You know, like if you don't want to be rude about it, then you gotta take the time to untangle. I don't know, I guess I would open with like, oh, I'm just here to see the beautiful temple, and then we could go from there and eventually maybe try to figure out what he's trying to tell me. But I don't care either way. Stop talking to me, please. You know? That's where my fucking rhino girl with the shitty attitude comes through. Just like, just will you leave me alone? That would make this all work for me a lot better. Whether you're trying to be nice or not. Instead, I'm just confused. And I don't know, I just thought now that I'm standing under an awning, I don't think this rain's gonna stop. I think I maybe just have to go make my way through this rain. But I thought I would bring that up. Cause yeah, I don't know, it's just kinda neat when stuff like this happens. And I think to myself, aha, you know? What a perfect little guideline for the future, you know, when I am editing this novel, when it's time to try to keep the tone in mind, try to have a little guidepost of like, what is it I'm trying to express here? That again is maybe a little more subtle, hopefully, a little more low key, a low stakes interaction. But a good example of how when you're from different cultures and you don't speak each other's language and you don't have the same cultural touch points, whatever, like to that guy, I'm sure it was very obvious. What he was trying to express to me was just like the normalest thing in the world. And again, probably a nice gesture. But it's just so crazy. It's that feeling of like, I don't know. If I was a rhino alien talking to a squid alien, this is gonna happen every day, all the time. I'm never gonna know what the fuck is going on. And obviously the differences are not that different in human culture, but they're different enough. They're different enough to still get that feeling. And generally, in normal human life, generally, I find it pretty fun. It's an interesting thing because it just never really happens in North America. North America is too easy. Too easy, man. You always know what everyone wants of you all the time. And a lot of times, you know, it's like a little fun mental puzzle of like, oh, I've learned a little something. I've learned this. I've learned that. I've internalized this new thing. I've figured out this other thing. And then sometimes, yeah, I don't know, sometimes a thing like this happens today where I just didn't learn shit, I don't understand shit, I have no fucking idea. I can guess, but that's the best. It's the best I can do. So anyway, I think that's interesting. I think that's pretty interesting. Now, do I just keep standing here and hope that the rain passes? I could be standing here for a long time. I think I just gotta sally forth. I think I just gotta move on. Just a quick little interstitial. There is more of this here podcast that I recorded on that same day, on the rainy day. But this is a few days later, and I'm near a different, much larger temple. But just as I was like thinking like, oh, I'm probably just being paranoid or whatever. Funny that I like presume that maybe the guy's telling me to skedaddle when probably he's not. But at this other one, I don't know, it's just like, it's kind of a Lincoln Memorial sort of set up here. It's like steps you go up and then a big, cool, fancy temple. I don't know, nobody's around. So I was like, all right, well, let me wander up these steps and take a gander. And it was a very similar situation, just a random old dude sitting on a chair, just hanging out. And this guy hopped to his feet and seemed a lot more clear this time. I don't know, he's just pointing back at the steps. He maybe muttered something, but didn't really say anything, and nor did I. I was just like, all right, whatever. I was just here to take a gander anyway. So I wandered away, but this particular old man seemed pretty definitely here to tell randos to get the fuck out. So yeah, I just thought I'd put that in there because yeah, I was really leaning toward, probably the guy was like, hang out, sit a spell. But now further evidence is not, is that nope. I guess I'm not supposed to be there. Maybe they're just, oh, you know what it could be though? Because now I'm wandering over to the side. The actual reason why I came here is I was looking for a hiking trail. And over here, It is, yeah, like here's some hikers. Here's a sign. Here's like a little trail path. Shoshan National Nature Park Trails. So maybe that guy knew that I'm obviously here for this, which I was, and the direction in which he pointed me over here to this path. So again, I don't know, this guy, he looked so stern that I assumed he was telling me to bugger off. But maybe he's just a stern old man who's pointing me to the hiking. Anyway, yet another great example. Another great example. Yeah, even just within this little yammer, I think I've turned myself around. I've talked myself out of he was being uncool to, no, he was actually being cool. He was telling me where to go. But it's just so hard to know. It's always so unclear and so hard to know what's going on. Okay, there's the interstitial. Now let's return to rain day for the rest of the episode. All right, the rain ended, no longer under an awning in a nice quiet temple in a rainy dead end. Now we're in the city. Now it's noise time. But I mean, this is kind of like when I was in Taiwan before I did an episode of this podcast where I was hiking through a little mountain and then went down into the city. This is just the duality. This is what happens when you're in Taiwan. You go from the quiet beauty to the crazy scooter filled, and I mean filled, just the land of scooters everywhere. I like it though. I really like the vibe of Taiwan. When it was all busy and crazy in Japan or South Korea, in both those cases, it's like kind of annoying. And for whatever reason in Taiwan, it's cool. Instead of being annoying, it's just cool. Like, here's a shopping street. Let's go down this shopping street. But it's still filled with fucking scooters. Just scooters everywhere. But as I left that little dead end, pulled out my umbrella, started making my way out, I think I can say now pretty definitively that guy was gesturing for me to sit down and take a load off. Because as I walked by that temple he was at, he was sitting there on one of the little plastic chairs, smoking a cigarette, leaning back. He was not a pious man. I think he was not concerned that I was not treating the place with proper reverence. I think he was trying to tell me to sit down, to relax, to hang out while it was raining. Here's another temple. There's a lot of them. And yeah, like I said, they're all very similar, but they're all so beautiful. It's like if you're gonna make all of the temples have a sort of uniform look, they picked a good one. It's so fucking nice. But yeah, I do still think it's just interesting. Like, it still illustrates the point very nice in a couple of ways. In the sense of, even though this guy was trying to be nice and trying to be welcoming and friendly, because I don't know what's going on around here, especially in a religious capacity, I can't help but at least consider, am I doing something wrong? Am I fucking up? Should I not be here? Because I literally don't know. I didn't know there would be just temples around the city. I don't know how they work. They do tend to be very tended to, you know? There's almost always the smell of incense and stuff. So I just don't know if I'm not supposed to be there. And probably it just doesn't matter. Probably just not a big deal, but I just don't know. So that my first thought, it's like, oh shit, am I fucking up? You know, that already, that just instantly makes the communication breakdown tricky on his end. He's trying to be nice to the foreign idiot, and the tall idiot is aggressively not understanding. Hey, here's one of these little claw machine places. Nobody's in here right now. Let's go take a little stroll, get out of the noise for a second. Oh, shit. air conditioning in here too. This is nice. But yeah, then on the other side, even now knowing that almost certainly he was telling me it's all good, hang out, how that still just doesn't work. Because I'm generally walking around with headphones in, listening to a podcast or something. So if I were to sit down with this guy, like, then I gotta take the headphones out, and then I'm sitting there, and then we're still stuck in the situation that I can't speak the language. And that just happened to me kind of recently. I was at a train station transferring a train in southern Chiba in Japan. And Chiba, even though Chiba is just like next to Tokyo, when you go down to southern Chiba, it's incredible how rugged it gets. Like, it's just mountains covered in trees down there. It's way more un-city-like than I expected. So there was this guy on the platform who had definitely been drinking. Was like there's a lot of surfer stuff down there, and this guy was kind of like had the beach bum vibe, but a little too far, like he was missing one of his front teeth, you know. he's had a little bit of a rough go of it, but very friendly, very gregarious. But because he was drinking, I think he was really insistent that while we wait for this train we have a chat. And it was so difficult. Like, I learned he was 50 years old, which is incredible. He didn't look 50 at all. He had been to Banff. He had been to Vancouver. Definitely back in his youth, he had been to Canada. You know, we had a little conversation, but it did just kind of keep dragging. And I would try to bring out my phone and Google Translate stuff. But he, you know, he wasn't in the mood for trying to do that in reverse. We just reached a point where, you know, he's talking and I'm just not understanding. So it was like a nice moment, but at the same time, I started getting the thought of like, man, when is this train gonna get here? And then I'm like, I gotta make sure I don't sit with this guy on the train, because I'm too dang accommodating. I'm too polite. If he wants to sit on the train and keep trying to talk, I guess that's what we're gonna do, but I definitely don't wanna do that. I'm dying here. But then when the train came, I don't know that he even had anywhere he was going to necessarily. I think he just stayed on the platform to wait for someone else to talk to. So, you know, well-meaning and nice in a sense. All right, let's get out of here since I'm not going to play any claw games. But ultimately not what I want to do. Ultimately, I was like, oh, this is, my little introvert heart is dying right now. So that's what it would have been like with this dude if I had sat down and tried to hang out. Best case scenario, you know, we could just sit there in a comfortable silence and just, you know, soak in the rain together. But even still, I wasn't intending to just hang out, and I'd still have to sit there without my headphones in, because that would be so rude otherwise. You know, it's still awkward. Even the nice version is awkward. Oops, raining again. Get my umbrella out. Goddamn. Just at this, there's, you know, a little stoplight at this intersection, and there's like 30 fucking scooters all piled up here waiting to turn the corner. Oh, and here come more. Shit, I gotta get off the street for a sec. Scooter town. I could never possibly exaggerate the number of scooters in this, not just this city, because Taipei is the same, in this country. So yeah, I really do think that is such a good corollary, and especially, you know, I feel like that particular tale, if I was to write this in a story, in a book, some fucking white idiot in Taiwan had this little moment where he's just too much of a introverted loser to hang out with the local, to just go with the flow. That's not particularly fun to read about. That's not particularly interesting. Here we go, a nice awning by a Family Mart. But hopefully, if I transpose that idea, that feeling, to a sci-fi story, then it's interesting. You know, that's the hope. It really is, though. I mean, I feel like there's very little chance of me ever learning another language in my life. I got English, I got French. That's all right. That's for North American standards, that's pretty good. But there is something about Chinese that I do find a lot more compelling. The idea of learning Japanese never really sunk into my skin because it's like, what am I going to do with that? You know, I'm just going to use it in Japan. That's it. I feel like it seems like the golden trio would be like English, Spanish, and Chinese. If you learn those languages, the world's your fucking oyster. That's what everyone speaks, you know? Everyone speaks one of those. And I don't know Spanish, but the French goes a long way towards Spanish. I can muddle my way through okay. Chinese, I got nothing, but yeah, I was a little surprised that that sort of internal reticence that I always had about Japanese or Korean, that it's like, yeah, you know, that's a lot of work to learn those languages just for me to visit once in a while. I don't realistically think that's gonna happen. I don't feel that way about Chinese so much. Chinese, I kind of feel like that actually might be cool to know. That actually might be useful. However, that being said, unlikely. Unlikely that that's ever gonna happen. Oh wow, there's a lady over here. Looks like my friend Rayanne. A lot of foreigners in Taiwan. But all right, I guess I'm trapped under another awning now, except now it's in traffic time, but that's kind of appropriate because now I want to talk about something grating that you might not want to hear about. So why not do it in the noise of the city? So a fine listener of this podcast, he sent me a story that he wrote. He's just like, hey, can you give this a read over and just tell me what you think? But he did warn me ahead of time that it's not really the same style as what I yammer about, because I'm always talking about minimalism. You know, if you describe a picture as a blue picture, there better be a reason why you're telling me it's a blue picture, or to me that's excessive. That's too much. If anything, I think people are going to probably find my writing like strangely bereft of detail. And the story this guy sent me was definitely not that style. It was like very ornate, very complex writing, but impressively so. I was like, wow, you know, this is like really well done, but it's absolutely not the style that I do. And so much so that after I read the story, I was like, all right, I'm pretty sure I followed all that, but just to be on the safe side, I was thinking back to, just as a test one time, with my Last of Us book, my nonfiction book I wrote about the video game The Last of Us. I started doing an audiobook of that, which I haven't finished yet, and in fact, I didn't even finish all the recordings, but I haven't even finished putting out what I did record, but it's like, at this stage, I think it's unlikely that I'll ever do an audiobook of the entire book. I'll get through the bulk of it eventually, but I'd have to go back and re-record for all the final bits. I'm like, I probably will never do that. So just out of curiosity, I fed it into an AI. And I was like, hey, AI, summarize this book for me, will ya? And the summary was so hilarious because it was so fucking accurate. I couldn't believe it because that book is not a straightforward book. It has all kinds of tangents and it's just like, I suppose it's ornate in its own way, where it's just not straightforward. It's like every thought that I had, I just wrote down. And I couldn't believe how well this AI summarized the whole tone of it, even just like the intent of the author, it even seemed to get of like, hey, this guy's kind of taking the piss with this fucking book and he's just sort of all over the place. And you know, it's a deliberate style, but the style seems to be that this guy is kind of fucking you around with this book. You know, and I was like, wow, AI, you picked up on all that. So I fed this short story into an AI also, and I just asked, hey, can you just summarize this for me? I want to make sure I did understand the nuts and bolts, the A to B to C of the plot of what happened. And I was glad to see that I did. But then out of curiosity, I was like, And I mean, it doesn't matter which AI, because they're all so incredibly similar. I have not found one that particularly stands out. In fact, they've all fucked me over on this trip in different ways of just like, hey, I need a fucking computer part in Kyoto. Where should I go? And it sends me to a fucking store that closed 4 years ago. Oh, man. I've had some angry times at AI on this trip of just like, why did you send me on this wild goose chase, you piece of shit? It's happened like 3 times. But when it works, you know, it is just a lot easier to have AI gather information for you than to trawl through TripAdvisor forums and stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little of two minds with AI of just like, there's things about it that are so useful. And then there's other times where it just fucks you so hard. So it's very good to obviously keep that in mind. don't lean too heavy on anything an AI is going to tell you, because the shit just doesn't fucking work right. However, I did, just out of curiosity, just again because I was sitting right there and I had already fed it into the AI, I was like, because also I guess I'm just kind of not sure what advice to give, because I'm like, I don't know, is anything that I say going to be relevant, because the style of this story is so different than anything that I have tried to do, that I just don't know if any advice I have would be useful. I feel like I can only lead someone astray. It's like, all right, you have a style that you're going for, you have something you're trying to present that I don't know how to present. So I'm just a little stuck. I'm like, I don't know what to say. So just out of curiosity, I was like, hey AI, what would you say about this? What advice would you give? And again, I was like shocked at the accuracy that it sort of nailed the tone of, like, all right, it does feel like this is a writer who's going for this feeling, this type of writing, this ornate style is definitely deliberate. But that being said, I would get to this point 40% faster, and I would try to cut down on the acrobatic wordplay, you know, by a certain degree, and maybe expand this one part, get to this part faster. The interesting part is when he talks to this woman, and then the AI even said, like, the ending is particularly good, quite a strong ending. And I was like, this is kind of remarkable. Like, this is what thoughts I did have are very similar to what this AI is saying. And this is where I was saying, this is something nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear this. And I want to disclaimer it by saying I would take a light touch with this. Because I remember I was talking to Brianna Mariah about her book. She was telling me how just to have someone to bounce things off of, she was doing that for a while. She was trying to ask AI about its opinion of stuff. And she said something very similar to what I'm about to say here, is that basically it initially was surprisingly potentially useful or an interesting, it would present interesting thoughts on the surface, but then it extremely quickly became not helpful, because if she tried to get deep into it, like if she really tried to talk to the AI about plot elements and stuff, hey AI, I'm trying to get from here to here, but I'm concerned about this or this, and then the AI would give some responses that made it clear that it couldn't remember the entire scope of her story, because she'd have to remind it, like, oh yeah, but I think you're forgetting this or that, and then the AI would be like, oh yeah, of course. But, you know, pretty quickly it's just unraveling. It's like, okay, this thing, it's not, it doesn't know what the fuck's going on, you know? So I do think that's really about all I'm going to pitch right here, just as an interesting idea, I think, is if you just use it very lightly as a very surface thing to just jog an idea. If you've never tried it before, I think it is so interesting to take a story and put it into an AI, just upload the text file and just have it scan through and give its impressions. Because I bet you'll be surprised how accurate it is, how well it has you nailed. However, beyond that, it's probably just not gonna be able to help you. You know, you still gotta do all the heavy lifting yourself. You gotta do all the hard work. And I think that's, I don't know, I think that's where, like, AI stuff, I know people hate to talk about it and just hate it in general. But I haven't ever had a particularly large amount of patience for that, because I never feel that way about any technology. Every new technology that comes out, there's always a cabal of people that are like, can't do that, stop that, let's go backwards. And if you look back through the history of technology, that's just never been how it works. There is no going back, there's no stopping. The only way out is through, up to fucking atomic bombs, you know? We didn't just stop, you know, we redirected the technology and it went into other avenues. You don't just stop. You never stop. It's not possible. That's not how human civilization works. And I mean, I was like, I was hanging out with some of my Toronto friends, and a couple of them got into an AI conversation, and I just had to bite my tongue. All I could do was sit there, and I was only going to make my friends mad if I tried to partake. Because it was all the talking points you've all heard of, you know, AI taking people's copyrighted work without permission and recontextualizing it and refeeding it out into the world, but it didn't make that, it doesn't own that. And then the more abstract, like, and it's eaten up all the water and the chips in the world. And then just like, I'm not saying these things aren't true, but I look at it more from the perspective of, you got to imagine your great grandson's generation, your great granddaughter's generation. Is any of that going to be relevant to them? Or are they just going to live in a world that just has this technology and just sally forth, you know? It's ridiculous to think that this isn't going to happen, that it's just going to stop. It's like, I'm sure when the typewriter started, there were people that were like, I can't believe it. You're not writing with a pen in a book? That's fucking crazy. And I'm sure when disposable pens came about before that, it was like, you're not using an ink fucking well? You're not using a quill in an ink well? What the fuck? You know, it's always like, oh no, the new technology is bad. It's so bad. And it's like, I don't, fuck off. Just fuck right off. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just new. It's here. It's not going away. I just have so little patience for the, we must not do it. We must resist. It's not going to happen. It's never happened ever. Not even once. It's not going to happen this time. And I just feel like someone has to be the bad guy. Someone has to fucking say it. Like, hey, this is reality, you fucking dipshits. I'm just... The anti-AI discourse is so fucking tiresome. But that being said, I think you could way overdo it. I think the lightest feather touch, a wafer thin, is how you could maybe use it. And I'd be totally open to the idea of not using it at all. I have no intention of using AI for my writing in any way that I can conceive of right now. I only fed my Last of Us book into it as a test, and because that book is fucking bullshit anyway, it's just a silly fuck around book. The idea, the idea of putting like one of my real novels into AI and asking it stuff, it's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna do it. So I totally sympathize with the idea that you would not wanna do that. And even if you do wanna do that, you should definitely keep it very, very light. I just think it's interesting to bring up because maybe it hasn't occurred to a person. Maybe they've never tried it. And I do think it's worth trying. I think it's worth knowing about these things. It's worth knowing about this technology and having some experience of it. And it is shocking, at the very least, as a summary machine. It's like, holy fuck, this is accurate. What the fuck? How is it so accurate? That's crazy. Even just as a fucking parlor trick, try it out. Put something you wrote, take an old story that you don't care about anymore, that you abandon, that you don't like, upload it to an AI and just ask it what it thinks about it. It's quite eye-opening. It's quite interesting, I think. Anyway, that's all. That's all I wanted to say. I'm not going to push the idea. Like I said, I'm not doing this. I don't think I ever will. But should a reason come up, I'm not going to just be like, no, we shan't be doing that, because that's not fucking helpful or smart. You had your little time of like, oh no, AI's bad. I'm going to complain about AI on the internet. It's already over. You're already the most tiresome person in the entire fucking world. So fucking quit it. Use it or don't use it, but it's not going away. Mean dad has to tell you the truth. Anyway, the rain got really hard while I've been standing here. So I'm definitely not going out in this. Shit. Sun's going down too. I hope this passes. How far am I from a subway? Luckily, my Airbnb is literally right outside a subway stop. So if I can get to any subway station, I'm laughing. Not too bad. Geez, yeah, I'm only like 2.5 blocks away. But 2.5 blocks in this is still like a biblical goddamn flood. So I'm gonna wait for a little while. One thing though, while I've just been standing here yammering to myself, there's like statues all over Asia. It's one thing that I love. It's like you're in a museum everywhere that you go. So Taiwan's no different. And I noticed that these statues, it took a while for it to sink in. I don't know why they're here, because we're between a Family Mart and a grocery store. I don't know what this building is in between. Maybe it's an art gallery. There's more statues on the inside. Anyway, they have these statues out front that are, they look like, you know, a Confucius-style guy in a robe, you know, very serious, scholarly looking guys, but one of them is on a motorcycle and the other one has a laptop on his lap. What a cool statue, because it totally looks like an ancient wise guy, wise person who should be writing with a quill on some parchment, but he has a laptop. How fucking perfect is that? How fucking perfect is that, dude? Taiwan is like, it's got my back. If I'm gonna talk about the coming together of the old and the new, the acceptance of new technology, what could be better than that? That is fucking perfect. That's fucking great. Hey there, a little addendum. So I'm in Taipei now. It's taken me a little while to put out this episode. So instead of Kaohsiung, I'm on the other end of Taiwan now. Delightful to be back. I fucking love Taipei. This country is just a cool-ass country. But in just the few weeks since I recorded the rest of this episode, some pretty crazy things have been happening that apply to this yammering about AI. The war between Russia and the Ukraine. Ukraine is turning it around like nuts, like nobody ever could have imagined that they would. And it's, it's nice because you don't often get a political villain who is so clearly in the wrong as you do in this case. Russia is just so in the wrong that it's just like, you guys need to fuck off. But they are not. It's been 4 years and they're not fucking off. It's just so hard to wrap your head around, right? Like, hundreds of thousands of casualties, and the statistic at this point is like a Russian soldier, when they send them out, it's like 20 to 35 minutes expectancy before you die. Like, how can a military leader or a dictator, like, you do have to be so fucked in the head to be willing to do this to people. I got kind of stuck on, to take it back to my dumbass writing, I had an old episode about a Superman story I was working on called The Overman, and I really got stuck writing that story because every time I think about it, I just think, like, if I was Superman, I would just use my body like a bomb, and I would just spend all of my days destroying fucking countries that are dictatorships. I would just wreck them. And of course, how precise can you be about that kind of thing? Before too long, you'd just be killing innocent people. You'd just be destroying everything. But that's what my Superman would do. He would just be evil. But I can't think of any other way for that story to go. And I just don't know if that's the story I want to write. But yeah, the incredible frustration of these situations that these fucking leaders, they just won't stop. It is a literal meat grinder and they just won't stop. But at this point, the Ukraine has Russia on the back foot. It's really looking like Russia is gonna lose. They're not gonna win. What they thought would take like a week has taken years and is now turning around. But it's basically entirely because of drone technology. Just that modern warfare supports the defender to such an enormous degree that you can make these small drones that are relatively inexpensive compared to the targets they're blowing up. They can go deep into enemy territory. They're small enough and they fly low enough that air defenses can't see them and can't stop them, or the air defenses have already been blown up by waves of other drones. And what allows them to go so deep, like how these like oil refineries and power plants and bridges deep inside Russia are getting destroyed, is because the drones don't need an operator. They use AI. And it's fucking incredible. It's amazing to watch a drone fly by just over the top of buildings, like flying so low. And then it sees the oil refinery and it dives and kaboom. And it's just able to do that autonomously. It's fucking incredible. And that's motherfucking AI. That's like exactly what I was saying before, is technology doesn't, the human race has never turned its back on a technology. Technology doesn't stop. Nuclear power is not gone because of nuclear bombs. And AI is no different. If there's problems with AI now or in the early days or initially, it'll morph into other things. It's going to go other places. And I can't think of a better example than that. I was just listening to a guy give a talk, since I'm here in Taiwan, about the idea of China attacking Taiwan, which is mainly a lot of bluster. They've been talking about it for fucking 70 years. It was probably never going to happen anyway. But now when you apply this drone technology, the difficulty of taking over this island was already hard and not worth it. And it's just so impossible now. There's just no way. And how fucking great is that? I mean, in the example of the Ukraine versus Russia, I mean, to put it in nerd parlance, let's take old Star Wars. I was never a particular Star Wars fan myself, but I know everybody loves Star Wars. Everybody fucking loves Star Wars. It doesn't matter how bad it used to be. It doesn't matter how bad it is now. I know y'all love Star fucking Wars. What is Star Wars in real life if not this? What is the rebellion fighting the Death Star if not the Ukraine fighting Russia? And it's fucking happening, and the rebellion is winning because of AI in drones. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in because, yeah, I'm just not on your side. These anti-AI people, I am not on your side. It's the new tech. It's not going to stop. Go ahead and bellyache if it makes you feel better. Technology's a process. We'll get through the rough patches. We'll get to something else. Yeah, I found all this bellyaching very tiresome right from the get-go. But at this point, you know, I was saying how my friends were complaining about AI in Toronto, and I just kept my mouth shut. At this point, I would not keep my mouth shut. At this point, we would have had a fucking argument. The applications are already becoming evident. Things are happening in the world, geopolitically, that could not have happened before. But all right, there's an episode. Thanks for listening. I hope that was interesting. Yeah. Sorry to talk about AI. Get fucking used to it, though. Not from me, just from the world. So let's do a song of the day. Got kicked off Spotify because of my songs of the day. Sunk cost fallacy. Got to keep doing song of the day now. Which actually, I just realized too, I was going to pick this song just because it's so catchy. But even the title of this song is called Victorian Machinery. Man, everything's coming together today, because that's also obviously what a cool, it doesn't mean anything as far as I can tell in the song, because this is a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. The band that famously never has lyrics that fucking mean anything. It's always just crazy nonsense that sounds good to sing. But yeah, I was a little surprised by this song, because this is like a hidden Red Hot Chili Peppers song, which is like, how is that possible? One of the most famous bands in the world. The only band from my youth. Like, if I had to pick one band from when I was a teenager that would still be relevant all these decades later, I would not have picked the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, the band where they used to put socks on their cocks. But they are. They're the only band from my youth that is still around that I feel like still gets on the radio, that people still listen to actively. It's kind of amazing, unexpected. But how could a band that successful and famous have a secret song? But this song, Victorian Machinery, it's from the I'm With You album, which was the album after John Frusciante left for a while as their guitarist. And it's kind of not a great album. I never really got that into it. The one after that, The Getaway, is like way, way, way better. But I'd go back to I'm With You once in a while, and I'm like, yeah, it's not that good. Annie Wants a Baby's a good song, and Brendan's Death song is okay. That's about it. But it turns out they have a bunch of B-sides for that album. And man, it's so bizarre sometimes, like what people pick to put on albums, or what they pick as singles or whatever, or whoever picks these things, if it's them or the record label, or I don't know. But that was an album that needed some help, you know? That was a not great Red Hot Chili Peppers album. And meanwhile, on the B-sides, they had Victorian Machinery, which is one of the coolest songs I've heard in ages. You know, I'm not going to say it's like a top 10 Chili Peppers song. They have a lot of good songs. But like top 20? Maybe. Maybe. I think you can make that argument. It's a really good song. And it's just some weird B-side that they're just like, whatever. Find it if you can. Because I never did. For years, I just recently heard it. And it's fucking awesome. You are my Victorian Machinery. This song rules. And again, just accidentally, that title at the very least totally fits with the shit I was just yammering about. That's great. But all right, I think this rain actually did calm down a little. I might risk it. I might venture out into this. But all right, thanks for hanging around with this podcast. Again, no particular plans for regular updates from here on in. But I do hope next time I have something to yammer about, I've gotten back into a consistent writing schedule. Because, yeah, that's just, it's just crippling me. It's just a killer. There is no way around it. A habitual writing routine is the only thing that has ever worked for me and ever will. And I'm just not doing that right now. And it's like, shit, dude, come on, get your shit together. But my shit is not together right now. But hey, at least my shit's not together in a cool, interesting city. All right, here's Victorian Machinery. Thank you for listening.
There is nothing to lack when there is nothing to measure. It's all. the shack, and baby, I'll be the desert. There is nothing to lack when there is nothing to measure. It's all.